In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we are taking this weekend to celebrate the feast day of our parish, which we have moved from yesterday. And what a feast day. Giving honor to the most sacred heart of Jesus is literally built into our name. And whenever a parish celebrates its patronal feast, it's kind of like a little family celebrating a birthday. And so we pause. It's a great time for us to pause and call to mind three things: who we are, why we are here, and what God is calling us to become. And so, with all that in mind, we focus on this beautiful image of the heart of Jesus Christ. Now, we modern and sophisticated people will hear the word heart and probably first think of the organ that pumps blood, because we have so many doctor's appointments and such. If we don't think of that, we think of emotions and feelings. Now think about the common phrases like, he wears his heart on his sleeve, right? And what is that? That's someone who openly displays his or her emotions, usually meaning they can't really control them. Or we might feel heartbroken or have a broken heart. That feeling of complete devastation, being emotionally crushed, usually because of some failed relationship. Or, on the positive side, your heart might skip a beat, right? That sudden rush of excitement and nervousness when someone you love or at least infatuated with walks into the room. Now, the point is, those things are all based on feelings and emotions, which are fine. We are human, after all. We need to have feelings and emotions, or else there's something wrong with us. But those things are notorious for what? They're notorious for being fickle and changeable. And to our point, feelings and emotions do not equal what it means to love. Biblically speaking, the heart means something much deeper. Love means to choose the good of the other, not the self, to choose the good of the other. That is the heart of it all. The heart is the center of the person. It's where our loves and desires and decisions and commitments all come together. The heart reveals who we really are. It is our core, the core of our being. And by the way, the word core is simply the Latin word for heart. So, when we speak of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, we're speaking about the deepest mystery of who Christ is, because knowing that will tell us about ourselves. So we're looking into the very center of God's life. And what do we find there? Not sentimentality, not a vague kindness or just be a nice person kind of thing, no. We find a fierce, relentless, saving love of God. A love so powerful that he came to rescue us. Now, in the crucifixion scene in St. John's Gospel, what happens? One of the soldiers pierces the side of Christ on the cross with the lance. And what happened? Immediately it said that water and blood flowed out. So there are two things here for us to look at. Number one, we have right there the birth of the church flowing from the wounded side of Christ. The water of baptism and the precious blood of the Eucharist, the sacraments coming forth. Just as Eve came from the side of the sleeping Adam, so the bride of Christ, the church, is now born from the side of the new Adam, asleep in death, though not for long. So secondly, not only do you have the birth of the church, but also what we see is our God is so loving that he holds nothing back. He is already dead on the cross when they do this to him, but he has a little more to give, literally from his heart. And he gives that too. He empties it all completely for us. Now, God could have loved us from a distance, safely removed from all of our struggles and our failures, but instead, no. He enters into our world. He takes on our suffering. He bears our sins. His heart is wounded for us, and not in a vague, general way. The Sacred Heart tells us that there is no corner of your life that Christ does not want to enter. To your joys, your fears, your failures, your hopes for your children, your grandchildren, your friends, your worries about the future, all of it. Bring it all to Him. Now, one of the greatest temptations in the modern world is to believe that God, if people believe at all, is some distant, silent, uninterested, or indifferent figure. No, the Sacred Heart shatters that illusion. That is not God. The Sacred Heart reminds us that God is passionately concerned about us. He knows us. He loves us. He pursues us. The Sacred Heart is not merely something that we admire, which we do, and it's not something that we're just inspired by, which we are. It's something that we are called ourselves to imitate. And here's where the rubber meets the road. Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make our hearts like unto thine, we say in the litany. That means that we have to become also a people of mercy in a culture that celebrates resentment, a people of forgiveness in a culture that holds on to grudges for dear life. We must become a people of generosity and courage in a culture of self-interest and indifference. So, here are three concrete things we can do as a parish family for this, our feast. First of all, just do it. Spend 10 minutes every day in prayer before the Sacred Heart. If you have an image of the Sacred Heart at home, pray there. If not, get one. They have them everywhere. You can get online. You can get it easily. And place it in your home. You, after all, you're a member of Sacred Heart Parish. So let that become the center of your prayer for your family life, your personal prayer. So secondly, perform one intentional act of mercy each day this week. Maybe call somebody who's lonely or visit someone you know is sick, help a neighbor, forgive someone. There's so much to do. The Sacred Heart is not an idea or a pretty picture. It is love in action. So prayer, performing an act of mercy, and third, invite somebody back to church. There are so many people around us who are searching for meaning and hope, so many wounded people. So one invitation can change a life forever. And I know this personally for myself. Now, so finally, because it is our parish's namesake, I want to challenge each of us to ask this question. What kind of parish is Sacred Heart calling us to be? This is a family question. It cannot be merely a parish maintaining a building and keeping a door open. It can't be a parish that preserves a few of its own traditions. But instead, we must become the parish whose heart beats with the heart of Christ, a parish where strangers are welcomed, where sinners find mercy from all of her members, where families grow in holiness, a parish where young people discover their vocation. We have three seminarians from this parish. Above all, a parish that radiates the love of Christ throughout our community. This parish needs to be the heart of Charleston. You might say, but Father, we're too small. We're a small little parish. No, that's not a good excuse. First of all, in the first reading from the book of Deuteronomy, what did Moses tell the people? He said that God chose you not because you're the biggest and greatest. In fact, you are the tiniest, but you have been chosen. We have been chosen. Hey, Jesus started with 12. We don't need a lot to make the beginning. It will happen. The heart of Jesus still burns with love for the world. Will we, as a parish, allow that fire to spread through us? So finally, entrust your heart. Place your heart within His heart. We ask our Lord to make this, His parish, a living sign of His love, so that everyone who comes here may encounter not merely a building, but the very heart of Christ. Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make our hearts like unto thine. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.